in Fort Insight with Jack Stogler right here on the Fort Recovery Internet Radio. Insight with Jack Stogler is being brought to you in part by those community-minded sponsors you're going to hear during today's show. And now, here's your host, Mr. Jack Stogler.
Good evening, everybody, on this chilly Wednesday night here, Insight with Jack Stogler. I've got two very special guests, and I tell you what, I always think that my guests are pretty darn interesting, but I think tonight might be the creme de la creme. I have got with me Mr. Buzz Hall and Mr. Rich Hall from Hall Brothers out here at, on the edge of town here on, 119. And these two guys are two of the main owners of, probably the business in town that is the cornerstone of all of our new businesses. It's been around for over 120 years, and I want to welcome in studio Mr. Buzz Hall. Hello, Buzz.
Hello. Now you want to change just a little. We were the owners of it.
Oh, you, yes.
Past
yes.
owners.
You were the owners.
Correctly, yes.
And Mr. Rich Hall. Hello, Richard.
Yeah, hi. How are you doing today?
Good, very good. Welcome. Now, Rich, for you, for you, both of you, this isn't your first time on the radio either, is it?
Oh, we've been on a homemade radio station back in 1948?
The late 40s, yeah.
Back in the late 40s.
And
that might have been before Jack.
Yeah, just slightly.
Maybe
just
a little bit, huh?
Yeah.
Richard, who all took part of that? Of course, our brother John is the one who built the radio station, but name some of the other people you're more familiar with who talked on the radio and so forth.
I know Adam Beach. He was very good on basketball games. We would broadcast the basketball games from the school when they were home. And
Pony Zeringer.
Yep, Pony Zeringer.
Pony, to people who don't know Pony, he would have been an uncle to like the Rick, wouldn't he? Rick Zeringer.
Oh, the one that's Pony, a rock star.
Yeah, Pony would have been Bud's brother.
Yeah.
He eventually went down to Union City, and I think he was the chief of police.
No, I think he was the mayor.
Mayor, was that it?
Yep. Yeah.
The
yep,
mayor
I believe.
Of Union
he was
City.
In the
on the
70s.
Ohio side.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Who else? Oh, that was Pony, wasn't it? He had the Guzzler's Gin commercial. I remember that. And so, Dave Granger, right?
Granger, he was there. He was next door neighbor, too,
And I remember our sister Alice did some of the children's stories that she would tell stories on the radio for kids.
Now, so I'm assuming, and I don't even know back then if like this. Okay, so this was like an FM type station or
shortwave, wasn't it?
Shortwave. Oh, okay. Yeah.
Now shortwave that was very popular. Most people had shortwave.
Yeah.
That was not unordinary.
Yeah.
But you get a little cracking in there once in a while.
Oh, yeah, I bet so.
The beep and the boop and so forth.
I think it was on frequency 41.3.
Is that right? Yeah. I didn't even remember that.
Now, how is it that you can remember that from 1948 and I can't remember to pick up my taxes in Salina that I've had about a week's notice and I keep forgetting and I keep forgetting? That is pretty darn impressive. So, well, I tell you what, we're going to come right back after this little break, and we're going to talk about business and tractors and horses and probably faith and everything else that you can possibly talk about. So we'll be right back.
This is Stacy from Brick Street Tavern, and I want to invite you to stop in for our delicious home-cooked daily lunch specials. Starting at 11 o'clock Monday through Friday, Brick Street Tavern features Mystery Meal Monday, Meatloaf Tuesday, Roasted Chicken Wednesday, Lasagna Thursday, and our famous half-pound hand-patty cheeseburger on Friday. We also offer supper specials on Friday and Saturday evenings, including steak and all-you-can-eat roasted chicken, complemented by a large salad bar, choice of potato, and a honey roll. Stop in and see us at Brick Street Tavern and enjoy some great home cooking.
Fort Recovery Insurance Agency.
Have you been getting a lot of calls from a little boy?
Well, as a matter of fact, we have.
That's my son. He always talks about how you have something for everyone.
We do, with insurance coverage for your home, auto, farm, or business from Ohio Mutual.
Derek.
Yes, Mom.
You've got to stop bothering those nice folks at work.
But, Mom, I love talking to them.
Well, I would love it if you would finish your chores before you start making phone calls.
We've got something for everyone. Fort Recovery Insurance Agency. Call 888-375-4181.
Has your car developed a few problems over the winter? Weak battery, bad wipers, running rough? Give the professionals at Hastings Auto a call at 375-4617 and they'll take care of those problems for you so you can head into spring with your car ready to go. Hastings is open weekdays from 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. and Saturdays from 7:30 a.m. to 1 p.m. and now Hastings is open on Wednesday nights until 8. Hastings Auto, 375-4617.
The Fort Recovery Friends of the Arts present Disney on Parade on April 2nd, 2017. Shows begin at 2 p.m. and 6:30 p.m. at the Fort Recovery Elementary Middle School Auditoria. Tickets are on sale now at Fort Recovery Insurance for just $5. Advance tickets are highly encouraged. Also, make sure you're there early. We have over 20 costume characters for meet and greets beginning at 1 p.m. for the 2 o'clock show and meet and greets beginning at 5:30 p.m. for the 6:30 p.m. show. If you have any questions, please send us an email at FortRecoveryFriendsOfTheArts@gmail.com or call 419-375-4041. The Friends of the Arts thank you for your support and look forward to seeing you at our shows on April 2nd.
We're back. Insight with Jack Stogler and Hall Brothers. Talking radio, tractors, horses, monuments, whatever we can possibly think of here. And I tell you what, let's get into the establishment of the you Hall Brothers business. I saw or read where the business is actually right now like 121 years old. It started back in 1896. And so just kind of run through the history of how it got started and how did we get to where we are today.
Well, back in 1896, John Hull started the business. It was a salesman for Osborne Farm Equipment. That was before IH Farm Equipment. And then in 1906, he and his brother, Manuel, started a partnership together, and they each contributed to the business $350. That was the capital that they invested. Second generation of Hulls began when John died in 1934. Norman joined in partnership with his uncle Manuel. Norman became the sole owner of the business with the death of Manuel in 1941.
So like Norman would be your dad then?
Norman, yep. I'm Norman okay. Jr. in case you didn't know
yes.
that.
Okay.
So it was Norman Sr.
Yep.
Yeah, you want to go ahead, Buzz, with a little information there?
Okay, so we're up to the mid to late 40s, right?
Well, right, when after Manuel died, then Norman okay. had it by himself. And then the next Hull that came in was Richard after he got out of college, and that was in
51 yeah.
when he came into the business. And so those two ran it, and I came in to help sweep the floor, and when I graduated in 1960, so and our father passed away in 1974, so we had it by ourselves. He had kind of slowed down by that time anyway, so we had it by ourselves. And I think the next person was Paul Evans, wasn't it? He came in Yeah, or was, I think Bob, so. Was Bob in there first? Let's see. I think
Paul was.
I think Paul came in next. Yeah. Then, yeah, that's Richard's son-in-law. He can tell you.
Well, and during that time, didn't like you, Carl, work up there? Didn't
just?
Yeah, I mean, just like you know, during high school and stuff, yeah. And
just in the school vacation type.
Yep. Okay.
Times, and then after Paul, then it would have been that. Of course, he would have been the third generation. And then my Bob came in after he got out of school, and then that was followed by my third son, Tom. So they were the fourth. We're the third generation. That would be the fourth generation, wouldn't it? I was off there. Yeah, Richard and I are the third. So,
yeah, fifth generation would be my grandson, Randy Evans.
Right.
He would be the fifth generation, and he works out there now on sales and does a lot of the computer work.
Yeah. Very good. So, Buzz, you had talked about, like, at the start, there really wasn't a whole lot of tractors in that.
There wasn't any tractors in 1896. It was all horse-drawn equipment is what was being sold at that time. Your plows and cultivators and so forth, hay tools. And then tractors just started to come in the mid, probably the teens, in 1900, about during the war. And I was reading something the other day, the one thing that boosted the need for tractors was the amount of horses that were used in World War One. And you stop and think about it, something had to pull those artillery trailers around and so forth, and they said that the average life of a horse, I thought this was interesting, was 2 weeks in the war in Europe. So this kind of speeded up the need for something to farm with the scarcity of the horses. I don't know if this area right here was affected too much by that horse business, but we actually started, not me, but the company actually started trading in horses on tractors back in the 30s when tractors got real popular in the 20s. And of course everything boomed then, but things kind of changed during the Depression, where people couldn't afford to buy anything to speak of, especially tractors that might cost $300. That was something for a new tractor, but tractors got more popular then right at the end of the 30s. But here we come with another war, and I've noticed when we would trade in old tractors like the H's and M's and so forth, we'd get up to about 1941 and there wouldn't be any tractors with serial numbers in 1942, 43, 44, 45,
because 46. They just didn't make them.
They didn't make them. Everything went to International Harvester, even made the M1 rifle. There were several people that made it. I know my son Bob's got one that says International Harvester, manufactured by. So many of your factories got to making military equipment, but then the 1947 is when the war was over, and there's quite a boom on everything, including farm tractors. And there's one little thing I was just thinking about. I know we got some paperwork out at the store where things were rationed, like sugar and tires and everything during the war, but even after the war they were hard to get because they couldn't gear up fast enough. And there's some paperwork showing by Mercer County that if you were a veteran, you had first chance. It was interesting.
Really?
to get a tractor. I wasn't around then either, as far as that goes, but there is the paperwork. The one thing back, I want to go back a little further just for an instant. We still have some other ledgers and so forth, and one of them showed where we sold a brand new plow for $7, and on top of that, they even took the note to the bank.
No kidding.
Financed that $7 note. Yep. Things changed a little bit, haven't they?
Yeah, you can't get a bolt to put the plow the plow share back under the plow for $7 now.
Yeah, that's
so there's a time when people could trade their horses in.
And we
to
had,
get a tractor.
And Butch Weigel, and you remember Butch?
Oh yeah,
that's Tom and Jim's dad.
Yeah,
he was our outlet for that.
He'd go out and look at the horses. And
he'd tell us what he would give for it, you know. And he was an expert in livestock, and he was a big aid to us then, you know, that we had to go somewhere with it, and he had a place for it to go. So you'd trade a few horses in on a tractor. Of course, you didn't get all of them because they got to be family, too, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Like your dog, you got a horse, you're not going to let it go. They keep eating hay, I'm sure.
Yeah, back in 1951, when I first started, I would set up, assemble farm equipment, get it ready for the, and I'd spend the rest of my time in the parts. And I also did some bookkeeping. Back in 1951, I think the total of number of employees were, I think, six. Do you know what the, how many's out there now, Buzz?
Oh, it's around 30. I'm not sure the exact number. Yeah.
And it's like, and that's probably pretty well spread out from a mechanic standpoint, sales and parts. You probably has quite a few.
You have your bookkeepers, and one person's pretty well just into the IT, you know. Somebody's got to because it's become so complex.
So that's not you?
Not for sure.
No.
But even today, people plant using GPS, and they've got it down to, according you can get three different, I'm going to say, categories in it. You get one down where you're within an inch. When you plant corn, go down the row, and come back, you're within an inch of exactly a 30-inch row. So you, if you look, like if you remember years ago when you looked, the rows weren't so straight. Now they're perfectly
straight.
Straight. And if you get some of the auto steer equipment, the person that's driving the tractor takes his hands off the steering wheel and keeps it straight. So there's a lot of high-tech technology in farming, is just like everything else has changed. Similarly.
Well, I tell you what, we're going to come right back and talk about some of those changes in technology and equipment and how you've seen farming has changed over the years. And we'll be back to talk more with Buzz and Rich right after this.
Are you looking to change your career or become a part of a company that uses the vision of their team members to assist them in becoming successful? Cooper Farms does just that. We utilize the ideas and visions of our team members to make our processes better, easier, safer today. Would you like to know more about the positions and benefits Cooper Farms has to offer? Visit our website at cooperfarms.com or stop by 2321 State Route 49, Fort Recovery, Ohio, and ask to speak with an HR representative. Cooper Farms, more than a workplace.
Hi, this is Joyce, deli manager at Wayne IGA. Did you know on Wednesdays after 3 p.m. and all day on Sundays, Wayne IGA offers a 12-piece bucket special for $12.99. Save $2 a bucket. March is also upon us. That means at Wayne IGA, it is fish season. Starting on Wednesday, March 1st, and every Friday till Easter, we will be having our deli fish. You can get our fish by the dinners or by the pound. Please call ahead to reserve your fish. It does go fast. Our number is 419-375-2865. Thank you for your business at Wayne IGA. Don't forget to check us out on our Facebook page.
It's Lent, and Miracle Lanes will be featuring their hand-breaded fish on their Friday lunch buffet, in addition to many other Lent favorites, including their breadsticks and grilled cheese sandwiches. And don't forget to call ahead and reserve your lanes for your birthday parties and other get-togethers. Call Miracle Lanes at 375-4274.
Breakfast with Bill every weekday morning right here on FortRecoveryRadio.com.
By TA2, Andrew Lloyd Webber's Musical Cat. cats open in Broadway.
Yeah, I didn't look up any of the cats.
Nah, we don't care about cats.
Okay, we'll move on.
Well, but you can sing some.
That's
of
all right.
You sing that. Sing that.
Hum
one
it,
that
rock.
You like.
Rock.
At night and the kitties are sleeping.
That's not the real words. Those are Letterman's.
That was good.
Words to it, but it's
hilarious. Yeah. That's better than what Dane Neal could have put on there.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
We're back. Insight with Jack Stogler on this Wednesday night with Mr. Norman Buzz Hall, Mr. Rich Hall, formerly owners of Hall Brothers. I'm sure those guys probably stop out there once in a while, don't you?
Oh, not too often, but if I need something.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we get out there.
Yep. So we had just started talking about the technology part of business and of, you know, farming. So go into, I've heard it. Let's see, is it called precision farming now? And
that's
and,
one of the words, yeah.
Okay. So explain to me, because I am far from a farm boy, so explain to me exactly what that means.
If I can. But
yeah, or even sort of what it means.
Not exactly what it means.
Yeah.
I'd say it could start with, we'll say, a corn planter, where you can adjust your planter where it will plant more seeds where your ground is more fertile and less on the hills and so forth where it isn't as rich. Now this starts first with somebody that comes in and charts your field, and they make little squares and chart it all over the place with soil tests, and they test and see how rich in nutrients that is each area, each grid, we'll call it, each square is, and as they when they do this, they'll put that on paper. Not that it has to be on paper, but it's in your computer. And even the fertilizer companies are all equipped to work with this, and they'll go out and spread the fertilizer where it needs it the most. And then when you got your corn planter, you'll go out and plant seeds more, I'm going to use the word thicker, more thick, where the ground has the capabilities of producing more, and a little they'll cut down on the seed where it isn't as productive. Now this also, then when you go to harvest this crop, this can also help and kind of double check on it as you're going along with the combine. The combine is telling you just what you're yielding at that time. If your corn's making 150 bushel there at this particular place, and the next place you go up might go up over a hill, it might cut it down to 125, or if you get down in the black ground in this higher nutrient type ground, you could get 200 bushel. So this verifies what your whole grid system is telling you. So that all this put together, of course, you gotta put that all together with your fertilizer and your amount of seed, and this is all comes about by your technology that you have now, the ability to do this, to actually go down and you can look, as you're combining, you look right here and say, well, this spot here is making 150 bushel, you know. So this all is what we're when you put that into a lot of acres, and the people are cutting down on their seeds here, cutting down on the fertilizer here, this all saves them a lot of money.
Oh, without a doubt.
So
like what percent of farmers that are out there right now use this type of technology?
I don't know if I can answer that.
Yeah, quite a few of them.
Do you think it's half?
Yeah, it's more than half.
They
could be using part of it.
Yeah. Is that nationwide or just what you know of around here?
Oh, I'd say that's nationwide.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would think so too, but that's all I hear about. But and I know it costs some money to get all this, but man.
But some of them don't do the gridding or anything. They'll just do the GPS to know when they're spraying. They don't have that marker out there that was dropping foam anymore to see where they're going so many feet. But if they got a 90-foot boom on their sprayer, they'll just set their GPS for 90 foot, and it's more accurate than trying to find where that foam dropped the last time. And see, there again, you're not going to have the streaks down the field where the rabbits hide because the weeds are growing there, or you're not going to be overlapping. There again, you're saving money because you're not wasting your spray. I can't tell you the answer, but in varying degrees, it's way over half.
Yeah.
What I mean varying degrees by they're using some of it and up to using all of it.
Yeah.
That's what I referred to there.
So it's like you look at what's on the lot, okay? You know, like combine, just huge pieces of machinery that cost hundreds of thousands of dollars. You maybe. So when you have that type of inventory, so is that something that the company, gives you to put on the lot, and then when it's sold, then that's when it changes hands, or do you have to go out and buy it, put it on the lot, and then you only get that back if you sell it? You know, so do you own all that inventory?
Unless it's on a floor plan, which
most of it is.
Most of the companies, they let you have. Getting back to the farm equipment, there was a meeting that I think Randy went to, I think it was in Las Vegas, and said the next thing that's coming on the market will be like the cars, the new
self-driving
farm equipment, tractors and combines, that they drive themselves when they're programmed in with a computer.
Yeah, we never thought that would come with cars, did we?
It's incredible.
No, and I still don't know if I trust it or not.
Well,
they're not having much problem with it.
Yep.
As soon as they put them out there, they were pretty good.
Doing it with semis.
Yeah. I'd have to be better than some of the semis drivers that I've seen now. last 20 years, I've found out you can't trust semi drivers anymore.
That used to be the thing to do. You get behind a truck and
the semi drivers were the people that knew what was going on. Now there's a lot of them that you might as well have a third grader driving it.
Cars are the same way, though, I'm afraid.
Yep.
That'll be interesting to see how that develops in the farm equipment.
I tell you what, it is, you know, one thing when you picture fields around here, because, I mean, while in our eyes we have some pretty large fields, when you go out to Iowa and Nebraska, I mean, you know, you can go miles and it's...
There's no end to them.
Yeah, it is the same field. So it's probably much more likely to be effective in that type of a setting than it might be here.
Probably, yeah. that's true. They don't have the livestock that we do, and that's one of the things that keeps us, I think, the diversification that keeps us going, keeps us, how much livestock we got here with coopers and the farmers and milking and so forth. This is something that I always want to mention. Get off the subject just a little bit is why we're still around and why there's dealerships, and Mercer County being the number one county income wise in the state of Ohio can kind of verify it, but the customers aren't, that's why we're here. You gotta say, well, we got great employees, which we do. We've been very fortunate in the employee, but at the same time we've been super blessed with having the customers that are hard workers and
good farmers, yep, and
good people,
good money managers,
good people to do business with.
Yeah,
and that's still the key. You got to have the customers, and we're very fortunate in this area, not just this county, but anymore now we stretch over several counties. Jay County doesn't have a dealer, so that's wide open, for a dealer.
So from, we always, picture Hall Brothers being a Fort Recovery type of a thing, where the farmers that come in there are from Fort Recovery, but it's really bigger than that, right? I mean...
Oh, the last few, several years, it's fewer farmers, so that they also are there fewer dealers.
Yeah.
So that the customer has to travel more miles, and so do we when we go out and see them and service them and so forth.
Yeah, it used to be you just work your sales in Mercer County and Dart County. Now it's spread out to eight to about 12 different counties.
Well, we had a dealer in Mariastein, had a dealer in Greenville, had one in Portland, and they're all going, so
yeah.
Somebody's got to take over those
services for those
customers. It's changed quite a bit, and your areas just keep getting larger and larger. We've got customers at Fort Wayne. We've got them down in Hagerstown, the other side of Richmond, and just all kinds of directions.
So with the, you know, I know with the car sales, that more and more of that is being affected by internet sales. You know, people need a car and they get on the internet and they find themselves a 2012 Dodge Caravan. They find the right color and they'll buy it on the. Do people do that with farm equipment too?
Very much so. Yeah, that's becoming a good sales tool for us. Primarily in used equipment. We don't even try to do it in new equipment.
Yeah,
because that's all got to be serviced from a warranty standpoint, and they should go to their closest dealer for that. But the used every piece of used equipment is just like a used car, is a unique piece.
Yeah,
it's a certain year. It's got certain tires. It's got certain hours on it, and there's people all over. They had a little sale, an auction. It was an internet auction that they just put 20 pieces on the other day, and they all sold at a certain day. That's something they just tried, but they advertise and have their own Hullbrothers.com, and people know that because they can go into the Case International and locate a dealer and get right on their site, and they list on there all the used equipment that they have, and it's not unusual to sell something several hundred miles away as a result of the internet.
Yep.
Yeah, it's good for that too, just like a car. It's the same way with farm equipment.
Yeah. So you talked about the used tractors and things. Do you get into, not necessarily from a business standpoint, but from a personal standpoint, like the antique tractors, or looking to see which old tractors might be of the greatest value, or that part of the tractor business?
No, we're not into that.
Not from a personal standpoint.
No.
I think that part of it I get kind of burned out on tractors. But there are a lot of people isn't there? When you go to Portland to the antique show,
yeah.
My gosh, you can't believe what they're
doing. So, like, are those things that you like to go to?
I enjoy walking.
Are you tractored out?
Oh, yeah, a little bit. They're fun to see.
Yeah,
we still enjoy that. Yeah. Yeah, it's quite a hobby for a lot of people, and it's gotten into be a business for them.
So in the area, and I know that just driving through your lot, there's really large combines, there's Kubota tractors, there's the little four-wheel, I don't even know what they're called.
Skid loaders? Like a
utility.
The RTVs, rough terrain vehicle.
Yeah, there's skid loaders. I mean, there's all kinds of things out there. What is there something that Hull Brothers is known for as far as your go-to specialty?
I'd say probably combines.
Combine is probably it. I was going to say the same thing. Their ability to service the combines, and like Randy's one of the best around when they are on that the electronic part of it.
Is that
the
right?
IT, he is really good on that. In fact, he was just at another school yesterday. He said he was going to Plain City, Ohio. I think the company was having him said. He said it was two of the guys have gone. I think Brian was going to an advanced school for IT.
Goodness. So when like you talk about the IT guy, you aren't talking about somebody that's in there to take care of your computer system that helps with the accounting.
One of them too.
Yeah. You're talking about the IT guy who's in charge of making sure that the GPS systems are, you know, set up right and they have the right connections and all the stuff that they need.
The hardware, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that has to be some. Randy's good on that, yeah. Randy and Brian, both. But Brian's out in the, well, they both go out in the field when they have, if there's a, just start off somebody to teach them how to use it. And to keep them, if they have a trouble, they can talk on the phone and do a lot of that stuff.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yeah. So you guys were in the shop out there from Buzz, I think you said 1960
when I went in. Richard was in a total
51.
Of what?
Rich from,
he was there about 55 years, I think. Yeah. He was the... I think he's got more seniority than anybody ever had out there.
I'll bet.
Oh, I don't know about that.
So you know, for both of you, when like you look back at those, you know, 55 years, what's the greatest difference that you see from 1950 to when you retired in 2007 or whatever year it was?
Well, the equipment's got bigger every year. You keep putting more horsepower in the tractors, making the combines so they'll do greater jobs, and just keeps growing.
I'd say the same thing. I can remember back in 63 when our 806 came out, 100 horse, and I think it was my dad or something said they'll never need it. Use a tractor bigger than that, you know.
Yeah.
Well, now that's a utility tractor,
yeah.
You know, when we sold one, I think Bill Molenkamp out north of Skills Crossroad there got one 600 horsepower.
Wow.
Four-wheel drive. Yeah. That's the biggest one they make.
600 horsepower.
600 horse, yeah. Yep, that's the big change. Of course, you got to add the dollar signs on there, too, is another big change when you... Talk about an H, I think, sold for what, $700, brand new?
Yep, in that range.
And they'll bring $1,000 now at the sale, a tractor 70-some years old, you know.
Yeah. So how about the difference in the person walking in the door? You know, in that the farmer that walks in the door back in 1960 versus the one that walks in the door in 2010. What's the difference?
Well, they got to work with a lot more capital because everything's bigger and they farm more ground and they have more investment. And it's just,
I just
keeps getting bigger and bigger.
Was out the other day this week and I was... one of the customers was in talking to Doug Himmelgarn, and a customer I know real well, and we just talked a little bit how it got around to his credit line that he has is $700,000 a year. He farms 2,200 acres.
Wow.
But that's what it takes to put his crop out.
Yeah.
Seed and fertilizer and spray and so forth. $700,000.
$700,000.
Almost three-quarter of a mil to do that.
So. Well, I tell you what, we're going to come back, and I'm going to ask you guys about athletics and sports, okay? And you know, I think both you guys played sports back in your day, didn't you?
Yeah, we were on the teams.
Yeah, so we'll come back and you kind of learn about your
personal life.
Oh, yes. So we'll be right back after this.
Has your car developed a few problems over the winter? Weak battery, bad wipers, running rough? Give the professionals at Hastings Auto a call at 375-4617 and they'll take care of those problems for you so you can head into spring with your car ready to go. Hastings is open weekdays from 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. and Saturdays from 7:30 a.m. to 1 p.m. and now Hastings is open on Wednesday nights until 8. Hastings Auto, 375-4617.
Hello, I'm Kenny Canote, inviting you to K&L Tractor Sales in Fort Recovery, Ohio, to see the new Endurance line of litter spreaders from Salford BBI. The Endurance is built tough with poultry growers in mind, featuring 10-gauge painted carbon steel hoppers with poly floors, heavy 88K closed bar webs, and a heavy-duty tandem gear case. The industry-leading spread pattern and heavy-duty hydraulics are engineered to spread more litter faster, saving you time and money. See these remarkable spreaders from Salford BBI today at K&L Tractor Sales, Fort Recovery, Ohio.
The Fort Recovery Firefighters Association will be serving their annual barbecue chicken dinners on Sunday, April 2nd at the Fire Hall. That's right, they'll be serving those great barbecue chicken dinners that we all love. Get your tickets from any of the firemen, then stop down on Sunday, April 2nd from 4 to 6 and pick them up. Or just drive through the alley from the east and pull up to the window. Be sure to grab a couple of extras for a quick lunch during the week. Fort Recovery Firefighters Chicken Dinners, Sunday, April 2nd from 4 to 6. Get your tickets now from any Fort Recovery firefighter.
We're back. Insight. Wednesday night, Jack Stogler here with Norman Buzz Hall and Mr. Rich Hall from Hall Brothers. And we're just getting into talking about sports. And it's funny, both these guys played on some pretty darn good sports teams back in their day. Rich, I think you played basketball with some pretty good guys and who was some of those guys on your team?
Well, Dick Walls, I played with him for a couple of years, my junior and senior year.
I think Dick's a Hall of Famer, I think, isn't he?
Yeah, he went to Miami University, yeah. And for several years he had the rebounding record for the Mid-American Conference.
He's got his jersey hanging up down there.
Yeah, that's cool.
I went to that at time.
And Bob Feely, he was a 2 years behind me, he did real good and went on to the University of Dayton and played several years for, who was it, Blackburn?
Blackburn that
Tom,
time.
Tom Blackburn.
Yeah.
So you probably like taught those guys and you groomed them into the basketball players that they grew to be most likely, right?
Oh, I don't know about that. In baseball, we're talking when we were on break there about Jerry Obringer a little bit. When my senior year, he had 5 no-hitters.
Oh, my.
And which was, he was a control pitcher. And he went in the major league tryouts with the Philadelphia Phils. Then I think he went into the Army. And in the Army is when he had his trouble with his arm. He hurt his arm pitching, and that was really the end of it. But he played Legion ball for Fort Recovery after he got out of that.
Yeah. And I think he played Legion ball for
several
for
years.
A long time, I think. Yeah. That's
cool. He was a good athlete.
Yeah. And then Buzz, you're... prowess was in baseball?
I would say baseball. Yeah. I had a little 5'9", didn't have a whole lot of chance in basketball. It was super good, and I wasn't super good. So I was fortunate enough to be the right fielder when our team went and played in the state finals. Got to beat that year, that game. But then the next year, and for a total of 3 years, I was the catcher, and I was fortunate enough to have Dale Bruins being the pitcher, because if you put your glove down a certain spot, that's where the ball went.
Yeah. Now,
he was a year ahead of me, so my senior year I didn't have that luxury, and I had to work at it a little bit. So, but
we've been blessed by having just some.
Yeah, there's always some
outstanding athletes.
And Dale did the same thing that Richard was telling about Jerry. He got hooked up with the Detroit Tigers. I don't know. He went to South Carolina, I think, if I remember right. And he later on injured his arm. I don't know how long he played with them. I've asked him before, but I've forgotten. Because when I was at Miami, I talked to a guy that played on the same team with him in the Carolinas. it was in there. He remembered Dale as being still a good pitcher down there. It's just
that's cool. So, and then staying on the sports topic, my brother just texted me and wanted to know when you bowled out in the bowling league with Doc Kanapke.
Doc and Rich Myring.
Rich Myring.
Vess Kanapke.
Vess Kanapke.
And
did like my brother Bob bowl with you?
He did for a little bit. I taught him just about everything he knows.
Is that right? Yeah. Well, then that didn't take long.
Yeah, he doesn't know much.
I wish I could bowl as good as he could, but I never could. He was a good bowler. Yeah, he bowled. Okay. He bowled on our team too.
Now he said he was the one that really carried the team.
Well, that's quite possibly true. Rich Myring, remember, he had a 300 game. I saw that.
Well,
as well as some of Bubba's 300s.
Yeah. Well, and Doc Kanapke,
Yeah, I was fortunate to have him as a coach for a little bit. He quit, but I think he saw there wasn't a whole lot coming up. So
that was when he decided to get out.
But he had caught, too. That was his job on the baseball team, so he was able to give me some pretty good advice. I really appreciated him.
Yeah.
He was a good guy.
And then I was wanting to touch on faith, okay? You know, I know that the Hall family is deeply rooted in their faith, and you have a real connection to, is it Harding College? Is that
Harding University? Where several of our grandchildren have gone. Dave's two. He's got two of them down there now, and Bob just had his second girl graduate from there. From there in December, and our daughter Barb has a girl down there now. There's four of them down there right now. That's in Searcy, Arkansas. It's a church sponsored private school down there. Yeah,
and that's where Dave went.
Dave went there. Yep, and Tom went there too. Tom was a catcher on the Searcy on the Harding University team.
Okay, yep. So how did you find Harding University?
Through the church. And I'm not going to answer that because I don't know for sure how they got found out about that particular. Had to be someone. I think it was some friends of theirs that went there and so forth. But
I tell you what, I think anytime you look at people that have been successful, people that have gone through trials and tribulations and challenges in life and always handle things the right way, that you always admire those people, and you look at their faith and their values and you think, golly, I hope that I'm that strong, I'm that faithful, I'm that persistent when those challenges come up. And the Hall family has always been one of those that we've always looked to like that.
Well, I think there are, even though they're different faiths, I think we're very fortunate in having the people that we have around here, because there's a lot of people are devoted strongly to their faith. And I've always told them, if you stop and look at all the similarities, they'll be 95% the same.
Yeah.
You know, there's just a few differences, and it's almost immaterial, It's, we're all doing the same thing, and heading the same direction, we hope. So we're fortunate in having the churches and around in this area. I've always said that, and I'm glad to live here.
Yeah,
I wouldn't want to live anywhere else.
It's truly God's country.
Yep.
No matter which God you pray to,
and God's
at
people.
Night.
That's right.
Yeah,
very fortunate to live here.
Well, I tell you what, we're going to come right back, wrap things up with the Hall brothers, and we'll be back right after this.
Hello, this is Stacy from Brick Street Tavern. Stop in and check out our new evening specials. On Monday evening, you can get a sub basket for only $7. Choose from one of our seven different subs, plus your choice of two of our many sides. On Tuesday, it's our wing night featuring 50-cent wings and boneless wings and 75-cent drafts. On Wednesday evenings, you can get $3 off any large pizza, any toppings. Thursdays, you can get our hand-cut, grilled, or breaded tenderloin basket with your choice of two sides for only $5.50. And with all of our specials, you can eat here or take it home. Stop in any night and check out our new evening specials at Brick Street Tavern.
This is Rochelle, grocery manager at Wayne IGA, Fort Recovery, Ohio. Keep a lookout for changes throughout the store as well as the new products we have coming soon. If there is anything we don't offer, let us know and we will do what we can to get it in. A big thank you to all of those who took part in donating back to the local schools through the month of February. Thanks for shopping with Wayne IGA.
We're back. Insight, Jack Stogler, Norman Buzz Hall Jr., and Rich Hall, let's see, is it junior? No, it couldn't be junior.
No.
I guess you can't have
two juniors
in the same family. That don't work very well. So I tell you what, working at Cooper's and working fairly closely with my brothers, I know that. The two of you worked together for at least some of those years in offices that were probably side by side.
Yep, they were.
And you've got two different personalities. You've got two different outlooks on things. Was there ever time when you just wanted to knock the other one out?
No, I don't believe.
I can't think of a time. No, sir.
We
both kind of had our own thing to do out there,
Different
things. If it was a big question, then we talked it over, and a certain deal, or said, well, should we do this or should we do that? And then we talked it over.
Rich, what was your role out there? So were you like you in charge of the parts and the tractors, or what was your role? And then I'll ask Buzz the same question.
I was in charge of
he was a president parts for one.
Yeah,
I was in the parts department for about 10 years. Then when our dad died, then. Buzz and I both, we kind of took over the business and from then on, that's what happened.
Yeah. Buzz?
Agreeing. That's, Richard could run the lawn and garden. He knew more about that. And when we sold appliances, we sold lots of Maytag over a lot of years. It would be up to 1,000 pieces a year. That's a pretty big business, and he could handle that inventory and so forth.
You said 1,000 a year?
1,000 pieces.
Three a day. Mm-hmm. Well, actually, probably four a day for 5 or 6 days a week.
Up there. Pretty good. It was good business, and there was good product, too.
Yes, and good service. That's why you sold so much.
Yep.
Why'd you get out of that?
We didn't. They did later on.
Oh.
So.
Okay.
That wasn't ours. I never bothered to ask him.
Yeah.
Very competitive business in the last few years,
It's changed with the box stores.
Well, and people don't put any value on service anymore.
They only put
value on the initial buying price.
A lot of that stuff's throwaway, too.
Yes, it is. And that's a sad state of affairs, but that is how it is.
It seems like it.
Yeah.
Been quite a change in that area.
So, as you look over the 121-year history and the 50 or so years that you guys were with Hall Brothers, can you give me some insight on a person that you feel may have helped teach you the ropes or gave you some advice that helped you and Hall Brothers get to where you are today?
Well, our father was a very good businessman, and he taught us very much, and we both benefited from that. And Rich Meyering, he was in the parts department for a few years, and he gradually went on to be a salesman and went out on the road, and he was a very fine gentleman and very smart.
Yeah, he was.
Yeah, I'd have to agree with that. Just watching our dad do business and so forth, you learned a lot. He didn't have to tell you, because you could tell. And then agreeing with Rich Meyering, there'd be people that come in that just wanted to talk to him. I mean, if Rich said, that's the tool I need, that's the one I'll buy. You know, he got that kind. And, of course, we had other people in the shop. Wilbur Gerlach was there for a long time, and Art Hills Camp, and they all could fix anything. And it's like that now with some other people out there. Sure. You know, got Dale Kaiser. He could fix anything when he was service. Now he's in sales, and people know that he knows his yeah. equipment. And it's just that type of people that we're very fortunate to have as an employee that makes doing business a lot easier.
No, yes.
When you have people that you can put your trust in like that, and I hate to start mentioning people because I'm going to miss somebody. So I'm
without
gonna,
a doubt,
not yeah. going to. There's all the other ones too. I'll put it that yeah. way. So that's what you got to look at that way. We've been very fortunate, but I can't overemphasize, like I said a while ago, it's still the customers that make your business, and we've been very fortunate to have to be in this area where we have the type of customers that they are.
Yeah. Well, I'd tell you what, I think Fort Recovery has been blessed to have, you know, families that have been innovative in some cases, really honest businessmen in some cases, you know, when like you look at the new Hall brothers and what the Greaseups have done. You know, you look at Sila Fever and Greg and what they have done. Fort Recovery Lumber and, you know, the Knapkes and the Bups and
you have to mention the Stoglers too, because they started this turkey business.
Yeah, but they're a bunch of ornery cuts.
Well, I know that.
Yeah, so you have to watch.
But at least it didn't skip a generation.
Yeah. Yeah. But that all has been something else for.
Yeah.
When you go down the road, you'll go between here and Portland, you cross, and you'll pass three Cooper feed trucks on the way.
Yeah, that's
and
true.
And then there'll be another semi that has a load of J&M equipment heading west. It's just great. It's all part of this country that.
Yeah, well, and we'd be remiss not to include the you know, Mike and PJ Miner and you know, Wangler Hardware.
Oh yeah,
they're celebrating their 100 years. So
yeah, 100 years. That's right.
You know, when like you look at 121 years and 100 years, and I think
Lumberyard
just had 75.
No, that would be. They would have been early 60s, so it'd be 65, okay. Something like that.
Yeah. Okay, maybe they just had their 50th, yeah. just
yeah.
Year.
And, the Fort Carrier Lumber with 100, and there's a bunch.
It's incredible for a town this size to have businesses that have...
Look at Jerry Kopp now.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's not been that many years, but
he's probably 35.
I was going to say, it's been up there, and how he's been able to expand all the other... cities where he has
Buckshot.
Yep, been around forever.
You know, and
I think he's over 60 years old now too.
Yeah. Yes, he finally got to 60.
Yeah. Yeah. He's still over there. I did some business with him last week. It's something else.
Yeah. Yeah,
and why wouldn't you? He's going to give you all the service you can possibly need. I just don't understand why people would go somewhere out of town to buy anything, and especially something that needs service, because if you go get it taken care of, they don't know you. They don't care who you are, and they tell you have to send it back to the company
but
or throw it away.
I hate to start mentioning them because we probably missed somebody.
Thinking up and down the street. They're everywhere.
That's right. Didn't mean to. That's for sure.
Well, guys, I tell you what, I really appreciate you coming on, sharing your stories and your insight. Fort Recovery's been very blessed to have you. I know there's 30 families of your employees out there that are better off today because of the Hall brothers family, and thanks for taking the time to come up and talk to us on Insight. Let's do it again.
Okay, I'd like to.
Okay.
Another 10 years or something. Yeah. But and also want to thank Neil here for doing what he's doing. This radio station is something else,
Yeah.
Who would think that
We just got the idea from John Warren.
I'm sure.
Adam Beach told me about that all the time.
I worked for Adam for several years,
and he talked about the radio station.
The first thing he'd say, W1ZM3. That was the call letters of
W1ZM3.
I don't know where that came. Do you know where that came from, Richard? I don't know where he got that.
If it was...
John took care of that.
I don't know.
If it was shortwave, it was probably assigned.
That's what he got. So that's the only reason they stopped, because there was a man from FCC came, hey, what's going on here, boys? You haven't got a license to do that, and so I think that flipped the switch on the W1ZM3.
Yeah.
So how old were you guys then, Rich?
Well, let's see. Well, he was 47, probably 15. He was probably...
9 or 10.
Yeah.
Born 38, so.
John
graduated in 47, then he went on to college, so it all happened before then.
Yeah.
Yeah. He went to.
Oh, isn't that neat?
University of Cincinnati, then Iowa State.
Well, I tell you what, I want to thank you guys for coming on, for Jack Stogler and Mr. Buzz and Rich Hall. You guys all have a good night. We'll see you next week on Insight.
Thanks to you.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you for staying tuned to Insight with Mr. Jack Stogler, right here on the Fort Recovery Internet Radio. This show was being brought to you in part by those community-minded sponsors you heard during the show. Thank you.